From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, April 1st. I'm Jonathan Aul. Gray foxes are found from Central America to Canada, but their numbers are shrinking in parts of the Midwest.
And it's to the point now where it's pretty big concern because the population is so low that we're at risk of even losing this species of wildlife out there.
How researchers in several states are working to find out what's behind the decline of the gray fox. That's coming up on The Gateway. Missouri lawmakers will vote this week on raising pay for investigators who look into child abuse and neglect. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on how the idea has bipartisan support, but an uncertain path to implementation.
A current draft of the state budget is slated to boost starting salaries for child abuse investigators from around $43,000 to over $44,000 a year. House Democrats are planning to offer a budgetary amendment this week to offer up higher raises for the Children's Division employees. But Governor Mike Parson may not sign on to that plan. He said earlier this year that he's in favor of giving most state employees a standard 3.2% raise.
But when you start doing pay raises, you start doing increases, whether it's the mental health, education, roads, whatever it is, you got to be able to maintain it too.
The House is expected to pass the first draft of the budget later this week. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The percentage of children in Missouri who have received their measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines has fallen 5 points since 2017. According to the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, around 90% of the state's kindergartners have received their MMR shots. Measles is very contagious, particularly among unvaccinated children, says Linnell Phillips, board president of the Missouri Immunization Coalition. She says when measles vaccination rates fall below 95%, the entire community has a loss of herd immunity.
I am most concerned about the infants, 12 months and younger, who aren't eligible to be vaccinated at this point and are sitting ducks.
Federal officials say the number of measles cases reported nationally so far this year has exceeded the entire case count in 2023. The U.S. Small Business Administration is offering low-interest loans of up to $2 million to business owners or nonprofit organizations that lost revenue from the recent drought this fall. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, the disaster loans can help bring cash flow to non-farm businesses in 57 Missouri counties, including St. Louis, Jefferson, and Franklin.
Small, non-farm businesses, including restaurants, equipment shops, and seed stores that lost revenue because of the drought are eligible to apply for low-interest federal loans. The SBA will provide direct loans to help business owners and nonprofit companies pay bills, make payroll, or pay down debt. Business owners can receive a 30-year max loan with a fixed 4% interest rate. Private nonprofits can receive a 3.25% fixed rate. Garth McDonald is a spokesman for the SBA.
We don't want them to spend down all their reserves or use credit cards or take more expensive debt to survive.
The application deadline is November 25th. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Some advocacy groups in Illinois are worried that a recent murder will stall the push for progressive criminal justice reform. Crosetti Brand is accused of seriously injuring his ex-girlfriend and killing her 11-year-old son on March 13th, hours after he was released from prison. But Lindsay Hammond, police director for the nonprofit Restore Justice, says releasing more people early through parole will actually help rebuild communities.
I think the problem is some Illinois communities have lost so many people to decades of incarceration that the very people who could help create stability and dismantle poverty are still locked up.
Crosetti Brand was on mandatory supervised release, which is part of a person's sentence and different from early release through parole. Illinois abolished discretionary parole in 1978, which makes very few people eligible for early release. Illinois residents now have a third option for their gender on their driver's licenses and IDs. X is now a choice in addition to male and female. Equality Illinois, the state's largest queer advocacy group, says Illinois is taking a huge step forward for non-binary and trans-identifying people. State lawmakers passed the initiative in 2019. But the Secretary of State's office needed time to update its card issuing system. The gray fox is a unique animal. It's the only canine in North America that can climb trees. Yet while it can be found across much of the U.S., gray fox populations have plummeted in parts of the Midwest. As Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer reports, researchers in several states are trying to find out why.
Along a wooded ravine, Dave Hoffman, a technician with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, pulls an antenna and radio receiver out of the back of his truck. At first, he just hears static. But then...
Can you just hear the signal beep? That's their gray fox dialed into a frequency.
Hoffman and other DNR staff put a tracking collar on a 10-pound male gray fox, known for short as GF1, last November. The equipment Hoffman's using today helps him get within range of the fox and his collar so he can download several weeks' worth of data.
So this will kind of tell us about his den sites and particularly the habitat that he's using here.
Gray foxes are small, about the size of an average house cat, and like cats, they can climb trees. Their rotating forearms and hooked claws help them scoot up trees to escape predators and to hunt. While gray foxes can be found from southeastern Canada to northern Venezuela and Colombia, these nocturnal, somewhat secretive animals prefer to avoid people. Still, in Iowa, state biologist Vince Evelsizer says there's been a noticeable decline in gray foxes over the last two decades.
And it's to the point now where it's pretty big concern because the population is so low that we're at risk of even losing this species of wildlife out there.
He says the DNR has tracked a downward trend with historic harvest data and more recent wildlife surveys. Biologists from Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio also have noticed a similar decline. Now, agencies in all four states are conducting gray fox studies and planning to share their findings. From there, they can figure out what may help gray foxes rebound. Indiana DNR is the furthest along with a four-year study that wraps up this summer. Project leader Darian Albers says they saw worrying trends with gray foxes.
We are hearing some concern from the public, especially from like licensed trappers, that they weren't seeing them anymore where they used to. And that kind of spurred us to start looking into it and then put some funding toward this big research project to try to understand what was going on.
Indiana partnered with Wildlife Ecology Institute, a nonprofit based in Montana, to radio collar gray foxes and collect tracking data. Technicians also collected blood and tissue samples for disease testing and genetic analysis. Don Redding, an associate professor of biology at Luther College in Iowa, is leading the lab work. While there's still a lot of data to go through, Redding says the highly contagious canine distemper virus is a big concern.
Canine distemper virus seems to be a major source of mortality for gray foxes in our study area. And, you know, this is important. They're not the only species that can get canine distemper virus.
Coyotes, raccoons, skunks, and domestic dogs and cats can all spread distemper, although it's not clear exactly how the disease is reaching gray foxes. Researchers are also looking into habitat loss and competition with other wildlife as possible causes for the gray fox decline. Coyotes are known to be a threat to gray foxes, but a recent study from North Carolina suggests the two can coexist if there are enough trees for gray foxes to climb. Lead author Ariel Parsons says those findings could extend to the Midwest.
Because we're all seeing indications that coyotes are playing a role, but clearly habitat is also an important factor, and likely there's an interaction between the two.
Loss of woodlands to suburban development and agriculture could be a factor. Studies in the Midwest will help determine that. And Parsons says she's excited to see more research into the gray fox.
They've been a background species, but now we are seeing, boy, you know, this species that has previously been fairly common and that we've ignored is starting to decline. And that's a red flag.
Parsons says it indicates that we may be missing something that's affecting other wildlife, not just gray foxes. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'll be off for a few days. Brian Moline and Jason Rosenbaum will host this weekday extravaganza. I'll be back on Friday. I am Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, This has been The Gateway.